Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start in New England. All right, I understand why some people are bothered by my celebratory anticipation of the Patriots' demise this Saturday at 8:15 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
My countdown clock to Tennessee, New England seems petty, juvenile, and disrespectful.
Yep.
It creates the impression that I don't respect Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and all that they have accomplished. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's amazing what Belichick and Brady have done over the past 20 years. Brady has more playoff victories, 30, than all the other postseason quarterbacks combined. And, of course, he has more Super Bowl victories, 6, than all the postseason quarterbacks combined. What Belichick and Brady have accomplished is quite possibly the most impressive feat we've ever seen in sports and all of the entertainment industry. For me, in my lifetime, the only thing comparable to the Patriots dynasty is the 12-year dynasty of the rap group OutKast. From 1994 to 2006, OutKast dropped 6 albums in 12 years, and all of them were Super Bowl winners. From Southern Playlist to Cadillac Music to Idlewild. From the Players Ball to Rosa Parks to Hey Ya! Belichick and Brady are the Andre 3000 and Big Boy of football.
Fast acts.
Difference is, Dre and Big Boy knew when to say when. Idlewild wasn't on the same level as Speaker Box, The Love Below. OutKast won its 6 Super Bowls and has never created another album. We never got a chance to get tired of OutKast. Dre and Big Boy elevated Atlanta in the South and then left Ludacris, T.I., and Lil Wayne to carry the torch. Yeah. I have nothing but fond memories of OutKast. I wish we could go back to the days when rap music sounded Southern and playalistic rather than ratchet and mumbly. I'm sorry, Bill Belichick. I am for real. 20 years is just too long. I need a different football song. My point is, football is going to be better without Belichick and Brady at every other Super Bowl. There's a rap group in Kansas City called the Chiefs. They're led by Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Mm. They need the Super Bowl spotlight. Kansas City is the Wu-Tang Clan of football. Reid is Old Dirty Bastard. Mahomes is Method Man. Tyreek Hill is RZA. Travis Kelce is Ghostface Killer. There's a solo rapper in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson. He's the next Tupac. Mm. Deshaun Watson in Houston could be the next Biggie Smalls. Jimmy G out in San Francisco looks like the real Slim Shady. Huh. His coach, Kyle Shanahan, is the Dr. Dre of play calling. Mm. It's time for Belichick and Brady to go away. It's time for them to head to death row. What? Mike Vrabel, Ryan Tannehill, and Derrick Henry need to hang Belichick and Brady over the ledge of a balcony Saturday night until they agree to step away and let the young guys have their turn.
Right.
The NFL will be better without them. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks. All right, Marcellus, I'm playing to your strength here.
You know it. Love me some OutKast. OutKast.
All right, would the end of the Belichick-Brady dynasty be good for the NFL?
I see why you were tugging at my heartstrings, trying to pull me to your side, but it's not going to work, big dog. This would be horrible for the NFL in terms of this dynasty disappearing. I'm not going to buy into the addition by subtraction mentality. Oh, take them away and let someone else step up. Hey, in sports, we don't let you step up. You take your opportunities. You take your position at the top. And the Patriots right now still the Super Bowl champion. So
you're not tired of it.
Oh, hell no. I'm a track fan. It's nothing better. When I was growing up, 9 years old, Carl Lewis walked out there stretching in them long sweats. Ooh, everybody else, run as hard as you can for second. And then all the way to Usain Bolt, ooh, do what you can, you're still going to lose. It's nothing better than watching grown, highly motivated, trained athletes all fight for silver. Mm. And I love the fact that I'm watching this Patriots team go out there and win 6 Super Bowls. But let's not fool ourselves. They haven't won it every year. There was a 9-year drought. They didn't even win. What were those times? What were those moments?
They've been in nine of them, half of them.
And seven other franchises got an opportunity to hoist the trophy as well. So as much as we're focused on the here and now, because they are the champions once again, let's not forget this Patriot team can go on a little roller coaster ride and allow others to have opportunities. I love this.
I'm saying yes, an astounding yes, but not because of the Wu-Tang Clan or Outkast or all of these other storylines.
Love it.
I fall in line with Marcellus on that one. I think it's the storylines that you'd be able to address and really use to captivate an audience by saying, look, there's six major storylines that could come out of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. One, what will Tom Brady do? All right. Two, where will he do it? Three, we want to keep track on how well he's doing. Fourth, what is Bill Belichick going to do? Five, who is he going to do it with? And six, of course, is how well will he do it? I think those storylines are so vast in nature and how you can develop them that I think it would be good for the Shield to look at it from the point of view of saying, listen, these are two of the most polarizing figures in the history of this game, and we can leverage it that way.
No, I actually think it would be bad if the dynasty ends. And the reason why is I think we have an appreciation for greatness. Whether we love them or hate them, we always tune in. If you think about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls having two three-peats, man, we hated that. Some people loved it or whatever. The Lakers with Kobe and Shaq. It goes on and on.
20 the great years, teams. Bucky.
20 years.
Like this, 20 years.
It makes you tune in. It makes you tune in because each and every week you want to see them go down. And then if you're a fan, you just appreciate greatness. But I believe, man, to knock them off the throne, you got to earn that. Earn. It's not about them stepping to the side. Someone has to take it from them. Well, no one has taken it from them.
Tennessee is going to do it this Saturday.
I don't know.
Tennessee's going to do it this Saturday. But I just can't believe you just listen to this man. I didn't even think about that. He just rattled off all the compelling storylines if it does end and they go their separate ways. That's not better than what we've been seeing year after year after year, the same story. Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, Tom Brady.
Is there enough talent? Does Tom have anything left?
But we've heard storylines, did we not?
Tom is the worst quarterback in the playoffs. I mean, I'm tired of these storylines. Tom is not the worst in the playoffs.
Did it crumble?
Did it
crumble last year? Wasn't that a storyline?
No. Yeah. No.
So we got a storyline out of that. We squished it. They won in the Super Bowl. Through the spy gates, through the deflate gates, through all the things that they went through. Would that be the undermining of this dynasty? No. So to me, in success, I love the fact that if you are dynastic, if you are Goliath, and then they shoot every shot at you, including fully loaded teams, and still come up short, I find that genius.
When you think of the history of this game, I tried to come up with anyone who could actually rival in the history of the NFL the storyline that this Patriot team has created. I came up with Art Rooney, Chuck Knoll, Terry Bradshaw. You could argue policy, Montana, and
it
Bill Walsh.
20 years.
Nah. So think about this. If we're talking about, is the storyline staying intact and is it as impactful and is it good for the Shield? It does not hurt the Shield. It's business as usual. But if you get a shakeup, right? Because I know we're heading into this, but I fully anticipate this is the last season that Belichick and Brady are together. How do you best leverage that? And it is clear that that would be more polarizing, that would be more entertainment for fans, especially in the fantasy football era of where football is now. That is a compelling storyline that you can build so much around if they go their separate ways.
Yeah, but you know, football is a game where we all kind of latch on to the hot teams. Mm. In the 70s, when we were growing up, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys, it was one or the other. Even when the Washington Redskins jumped in and won three with Joe Gibbs, we appreciate greatness. We all want to be a part of it. And so I think that there's a level of respect that we give to the Patriots. Even when we hate them, we tune in because we want to either see them win it and display their excellence, or we want to see them lose so we can celebrate and dance on their graves.
But now, with that being said, if Tom Brady is not there and Bill Belichick is still there, you're looking at the Patriots for a totally different reason than what you're looking at them for right now.
Yeah, but I'm not into this, like, you isolate
the individuals and see if they can become as great as they are combined with that force that is this dynasty of 20 years. No one wanted the 49ers dynasty to end. Mm-mm. No one wanted the Cowboys dynasty
to end. It never got to 20 years.
You know what? But it got to 4 championships in like 8 years. So if you want to extract that out to 20 years, they should even have more championships, the Patriots, but they don't. So in that intense time frame, it felt the same as this, if not greater.
Y'all telling me y'all didn't want to see what Kobe was going to do once Shaq left?
Hell no.
You telling me you didn't want to see what Shaq did once Shaq left?
No. I thought it was silly.
I thought it was silly.
They were still winning. Like, why not continue to win? I want to continue to see it going to someone
like that. Athletic elitist. And layman, fans want to know what Shaq was going to do. I watched to see what Shaq was going to do without Kobe.
No, they didn't. They wanted to see
what Scottie Pippen was going to do without Michael Jordan. Jordan is gone.
No.
It's your team now, Scottie Pippen. They gave it to Tony Kukoc. He became famous because of that. I want to see it.
One of the things, I'm a fan. Y'all were
I'm a
great
fan
first. Athletes.
I'm a fan first.
I'm a player, dog.
Yeah.
I know that's right.
Give me mine.
And so, maybe that's the disconnect here, because I'm just saying, as a fan, I want to see something different. And I certainly want to see the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have a shot for several years of being.
But don't you want them to earn it? Like, the best thing is, like, when the Chicago Cubs finally won after the long curse. The celebration, because you sat there, you went through it, you felt like you watched them earn it. I feel like teams have to earn the title. You just don't gift them the title. If the Kansas City Chiefs can't knock off the Patriots, that's on them. That's not on the Patriots to be like, hey, here's your turn.
No, y'all going back to earn. I'm just talking about what would be better for the NFL and for us fans. And to me, it's moving on from the Brady Belichick Patriots dynasty. All due respect, but damn, 20 years. 20 years of nothing. I mean, who does that other than
we know you're not married, but
yeah, I mean, 20 years
ain't that damn long. No, it's not that damn long. What, they've won 6. They've lost 3. They haven't been there 7 times. 9-year drought. Like, 7 other teams have won. You got to respect that everyone has their shot. I love sports for the meritocracy. I'm going to teach my kids there's no such thing as this fear of failure mentality. I love Outkast, Andre, Big Boy, Manager Blue. Had a discussion with them in the midst of, are they going to get back together? Come back together. I don't know. Are they going to break up? And the one thing that hurt my soul was the fact that there was a thought that what can we do that's greater than what we've already done? Mm. And guess what? That's a fear failure mentality.
Yep.
Because you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So I'm sitting there saying, I'd rather you go to the plate, strike out, then you sit there in the dugout talking about, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to sit on my laurels.
Method Man went with Red Man and had a dynamic duo that could possibly rival what he did with the Wu-Tang.
Don't do that. It ain't going to rival it.
And the reality here is Method Man knew it was time to move on and find a different partner. If you're telling me that was not entertainment.
One album.
That was not entertainment enough even for that one album. I want to see what Tom Brady does. I want to see what Belichick do without one another.
All right. If they lose on Saturday,
done.
Will the Belichick Brady era be over?
Oh, yeah, it's a wrap. It's a wrap no matter what. He doesn't even have the Jason Garrett mandate, which is win the Super Bowl and we'll keep you. Brady's gone.
Yeah.
He's too great to be without a contract in this situation right now. Just think about it. So, reading the tea leaves, it looks like Bill Belichick wanted his successor to be Jimmy G.
Mm-hmm.
He lost that. Kraft took that. And Kraft said, I'm also going to take care of Brady. And then concession, you know what Belichick said? All right, next one's mine. So you're going to run this out, the end of this contract, re-sign Brady in 2017, whatever it was, to this moment. When this dies, it dies. Now it's my turn.
That's why I
think it is, because why wouldn't Tom Brady be under contract, the great, the GOAT, unless it was over?
That's why them storylines are phenomenal if they do part ways, and they are parting ways.
Yeah,
I truly believe that it's over, whether they lose this weekend, whether they run that table and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I agree. So what I would offer as a fan of the game is, knowing that the inevitable is going to happen, enjoy greatness enjoy watching it. Now, Whitlock has put dirt on him. He's put him out of the playoffs.
The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking.
People have put dirt on him.
Enjoy, my money's on the table.
Enjoy the brilliance of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
I mean, we can enjoy it because, like, Bill Belichick knows it's time to pull the plug on the worst quarterback in the playoffs.
Oh,
we've seen it. Like, we've seen it. We understand it. And I think, if anything, we should appreciate the fact that he's having to do it around Brady this time around, because if he pulls it off, look, he's already submitted his status as the best coach in all of NFL history. If he does it with Tom Brady right now, then, man, I don't know what else we can say. I don't know what other accolades we can give him, because his quarterback is the weakest link.
It further pushes the storyline of if they part ways. It's a great story.
You know, I really believe there's a chance that everybody scatters to the wind. That Belichick goes to the Giants, that Brady goes to the Chargers.
I got them season tickets. I'm good. Like, I ain't need 43-year-old Brady.
Oh, you don't want to see Brady like you love him so?
No, I don't. No. Oh. You would?
No, I'm not saying that,
okay,
but somehow you think Brady's and Belichick's the greatest thing in the world, but Brady coming to your team, you wouldn't want that.
At this age, starting over. Like, look, I'm going to ride the momentum all the way through, but to start over and say, here's Tom Brady. How old is he again? 43. He's starting what? Where? I'm not buying into that just sizzle.
Well, I should have, since we all agree that if they lose, it's over. But it sounds like y'all think even if they win, it's over.
It's a done deal. It's done deal.
If the guy wins the Super Bowl, how do you not?
No, that's it. That's it.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. Now,
will he go out on top, or will he go somewhere else? Yeah, it's a storyline.
If she that fine, do you let her just hang out in them streets like that? You lock that down, don't you? This ain't locked down. Yeah. Hey, where you going? I'm going too.
Do you think?
He is out there in them streets right now, fighting for himself, knowing he ain't got a home. They have Tom Brady on a lame duck contract. Think about that.
Let me ask this, and this wasn't prepared for, but just thinking that through. Do you think that in any way has impacted Tom Brady's performance? I mean, seriously, if you've done all that he's done.
It has to.
You've done all that he's done, and they like, oh,
that's human nature. It has to impact
you. That hurts. That's that deep. That's to the white meat, as they say. That cuts deep. That I've given, more than given, I've sacrificed. There's a little difference there.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
Big difference, right, in terms of, I allocated funds and resources to do X, and you did nothing with that, and now it's coming back to sabotage me? Oh, I'm mad. Yeah.
Well, look, man, I think all he has to do is pop in an old EPMD album. Business, never personal. Don't worry about it. It's business. Wow. That's all Bill Belichick is doing. He's sitting back with Parrish Smith and Eric Sermon saying, look, man, you know what it is. You know the game.
Wow.
Business as usual.
Bucky Brooks is back, and we're joined now by Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Dallas, where the Cowboys' future is as confusing as ever. Just a day after ESPN's Ed Werder reported the team would be moving forward without Garrett, the Cowboys sent a tweet that seemed to contradict Werder's reporting, writing, quote, as the week concluded, still no news on staff. A lot of people expect something big from Jerry Jones on the coaching front. But at this point, I'm not convinced that Dallas has a better grasp on their future than the dumpster fire Browns. Are the Cowboys better run than the Browns right now? Why is that? That's not even...
Really embarrassing, man. Really embarrassing. Let's talk athlete perspective and muscle memory.
Yep.
So if you see an athlete, let's just use me for example, out of shape, still use me, and then you're like, man, I wonder what he'd do if I ever worked him out versus a guy who's never worked out. And you know what? The Cleveland Browns never worked out. Like, this has never been that guy. Three winning seasons since the Cowboys have had three Super Bowls. So look at that. You've only won three times, and they've won three Super Bowls, and since then, many winning seasons. It's embarrassing. It's also shameful for people to even think that the Cleveland Browns have figured this out, or just to the tune of one inch better than what the Cowboys are. And the Cowboys in failure and disappointment this year, who had a better record? Who has a better quarterback? Who has a better roster? who has championships upstairs? So, to me, I don't know what ground does Cleveland stand on to even think that they're better than the Cowboys.
Go ahead, Buggy.
Are the Cowboys better run than the Browns right now?
The Cowboys are better run. Because what you want in an organization, you want structure, stability, and consistency. And the Cowboys offer that. Say what you want about Jason Garrett and the fact that maybe they didn't get to the winner's circle at the very end. Jerry Jones gave his coach every opportunity to set the plan, put the plan in motion, see it through, and if it failed, the Cleveland Browns, they recycle coaches and general managers to a point.
January 3rd, 2020.
Yes.
January the 3rd, 2020.
The Dallas Cowboys are better run than the Cleveland Browns.
They can't even decide what to do with this coach.
So, and because you can't decide, you don't make a move. Ooh, the Cleveland Browns, the Cleveland Browns are making moves without direction. Every day is something else. Hey, we want the head coach to pick the general manager. Oh, we want a head coach with NFL experience. Oh, we want to use analytics. Oh, we want an old school football guy. Until they determine who they are and what they want to be about, they will always be mismanaging pulley run.
I mean, I have to go to the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, the Cleveland Browns, and since 2012, they've had five different head coaches. I mean, five
January 3rd, 2020. Y'all going all the way back in
history? Hey, you still have to say that's part of the history. I mean, you look at the Dallas Cowboys, you might not, like I always say, you might not like it, but the truth is they are the Dallas Cowboys. Would you rather coach in Dallas? Would you rather coach in Cleveland?
Lord.
I'll take Dallas, Bob, for free. But that's where they come. But, you know, I'll say this much. When you look at Jerry Jones, I think, you know, Jerry Jones is that superstar owner. When you start saying, who's owner of the National Football League, whose first name pop up? Jerry Jones. Not even Robert Kraft. It's Jerry Jones. You look at the Dallas Cowboys, look at the New England Patriots, who have won six Super Bowls. The Cowboys are still more popular than the New England Patriots. So you may call, you might not call like you like. I mean, the thing is that Jerry Jones is he's a businessman. All the money he's making, you know, off the field, you know, with the Rams coming here, with the Raiders going to Vegas. He got a piece of all that. I mean, like I say, it's the Dallas Cowboys for sure.
Okay, let me reduce the question a little bit more then, because you brought in a bunch of other factors. Who's going to make better football decisions on their next head coach, the Cowboys or the Cleveland Browns? And I just don't think you can pick a clear winner. They've looked at Jason Garrett for 9 years and can't make a decision. And I like Jerry Jones and defend him all the time, but 9 years of evidence and you can't make a decision on what you're going to do. And somehow this is acceptable.
And those 9 years of one Jason Garrett was still more fruitful than nine head coaches that the Cleveland Browns have rolled through there and no winning seasons. Let's talk about January 14th, because you keep saying January 3rd. You know what January 14th is?
That's his contract.
That's when the contract ends. Rent due. So guess what? Until then, I'm staying in this apartment, right? Why are we racing him out the door when his contract hasn't expired? Best indicator of future behavior? Past behavior. I'm trusted in the past behavior.
Let me give y'all one other thing, because somehow we got a new standard here. This is what you should do. you should string your coach along for a week. And again, we always say, oh, this is the right thing to do and blah, blah, blah. It's a family thing. We're showing great respect. Mm. What about all the families and kids that are in limbo right now? And the anxiety, are we staying here?
You got a job still to the 14th.
Right.
You're going to just leave the apartment because they know doing you ain't
I'm
got it.
I'm talking about assistant coaches, the whole staff. Well, everybody's in limbo. This is not being done professionally. I'm sorry.
I actually like the way it's being done because here's what we want. Some people want change for the sake of change. I believe they should change if they can find better. I think what they have to do is survey what is out there. Are we guaranteed that if we select somebody
so
and bring them in here,
you're going to co-sign for it?
I mean, if they bring them back.
You're going to co-sign for it.
I mean, I'll co-sign. Yes, I will co-sign on the line. Co-sign on it. I'll co-sign on it.
If they bring them back,
I'll co-sign on it.
If they bring Garrett back, you're all good with it.
Me? Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know.
Once he said me, you knew he wasn't good. Me?
That would be crazy.
No. Eric Dickerson?
No.
It would be crazy if they brought Garrett back.
Well, they're not going to bring him back.
But it's not
clear.
I would take whatever you want on that. Bet.
No, I mean,
Thank you.
Yeah.
They've won three division titles in the last 5 years.
Thank you.
Three in the last 5 years. We can say all we want about like how they underperformed this year. And look, he's the king of 8-8.
Perfect. Right.
However, he has won in Dallas three of the last 5 years. If you bring him back, you're bringing him back with some stipulations like, here's what I need to see. I need to see more creativity on offense. I need to see a better defense.
Look what this question has done.
What?
It made you start arguing they should bring Jason Garrett back.
I'm not
back.
Bringing him back, but if I got a cosign on it, I can talk myself into saying, whoa, here's why I can understand why they would
and
bring him back.
And that's how you know they're off in la-la land.
No.
Because
off in la-la land is what the Cleveland Browns are doing, paying three head coaches to not coach for them while looking for a fourth. Ooh. That is crazy.
Thank you.
Hey. That's a hell of a point.
I love it.
And gave it up to you.
We shouldn't mischaracterize the situation that is occurring in Dallas. One, no one's complaining. Them coaches are allowed to still go to the facilities, use Jerry's phone and office to find their next landing spot, whatever that may be, versus just being out there and twiddling in the wind trying to figure out what's next. So Jerry's actually taking care of them, giving them opportunity to find what's next. I think it's a good situation.
So, okay, let's remove the Browns from it because y'all not going to go there with
not at all, okay. Ever.
You think this is being handled properly, professionally? This, the way Jerry Jones is going about this gives you confidence that they're going to get the right next head coach.
Well, you never know if you're going to get the right guy. First of all, take your time. I mean, what's the rush? I mean, football ain't even over with yet. The regular season's over with football.
Candidates get off with Marco Ron. If you wanted Ron Rivera, he's gone.
Ron Rivera was never on their list. No way. So it's like the guys is gone. Like, he wasn't on our list. We don't care about him. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to take their time. Look, pretty much, I'd say any coach, even Bill Belichick, if Jerry Jones told Bill Belichick, look, come to the Dallas Cowboys, you can run everything. It's all yours. I guarantee he's like, I'm on my way.
No, he's not. You know what he's going to do? I'm going to call Bill Parcells and be like,
No. What did I just say? You can have everything. Jerry's never going to tell nobody he can have everything. But I'm just saying, he said you can general manager.
What you say and what you do are two different
things.
Yeah,
but I'm, like, didn't I say, it's, all right, let's take, let me give you the big word. Hypothetically, let's go with that.
No,
hypothetically.
But just hypothetically. Because Jerry says it doesn't mean he's going to turn it over to Bill Belichick. It's like me. I have every intention of walking to my dressing room without stopping by that candy in the back room.
Well, you
have those intentions.
But you have walked by. You have walked by it before.
I have.
Thank you. Yeah, there you go.
It won't happen today.
It's Friday. You about to go ham.
I don't know. I just don't like the way it's being run. Let's return to the NFL. The playoffs kick off tomorrow, and NFL.com just ranked all 12 starting quarterbacks in the postseason by trustworthiness. But in a field full of Super Bowl winners and former MVPs, the guy they rank first might surprise you. With Lamar Jackson coming out on top, followed by Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees, with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady fifth and seventh. Is Lamar Jackson the most trustworthy quarterback in these playoffs?
I would have to say yes, just by style of play. Obviously, he had a phenomenal year, which lends you to saying yes, but then you talk about the inexperience or lack of success last year, but then you got to remind yourself, man, his extra dimension in terms of it being able to play through any climate and any terrain because of his ability to run the football on top of being a premium passer in this league. So you just can't poke any holes in Lamar Jackson. And then you look at this team and their success against the playoff teams. They beat five of the other 11 playoff teams, so no one else even has that type of resume. And just look at this team and you say they're coming, and Lamar Jackson's going to be there no matter what the situation is.
NFL.com?
Yeah.
That's their list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you why. You crumble up their list and you flick it away. You know why? Let me tell you why. When you're talking, pray
for what?
Listen to what I'm telling you.
Oh, he about to do it.
Listen to what I'm telling
you. Back up, Bucky.
We're looking at a situation where you're talking about trustworthiness of the player that's coming into it. How many wins does Lamar Jackson have in the playoffs?
Zero.
Zero.
I'm trying to understand something. How many does Mahomes have?
One.
Okay, let's go down the line.
Zero.
Okay.
Everybody but Brady got 30.
Now you get to Rodgers, you get to Brees, okay, you get to Wilson. Here's what your list should look like. Brady should be number one.
That's so ridiculous.
Number two should be dangerous Russell Wilson.
Oh, hell.
Number three.
A-Rod
should be number three. And I won't even go any further than Drew Brees at number four because it's not even where you could put all of these winless quarterbacks. or the singular win quarterback, and you can put them wherever you want to put them. You're talking about who is trustworthy? You have to have a body of work to base trustworthy. Mm-hmm. If there's no body of work to base trustworthy, you cannot take a regular season record, you cannot take a regular season accolade and say, this makes them trustworthy in the playoffs. I don't like it. Throw it away.
Love and eyes can never see.
There we go.
He's so in love with Tom Brady
that
he can't see Tom Brady's flaws on full display. Mm. Look, Lamar Jackson, I don't trust number one. Just because last year we saw against the Chargers, you just worry about how is he going to step up on the big stage. The guy that I trust the most would be Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
And the reason Aaron Rodgers is the one to be trusted is he still has enough talent to put the game on his shoulders, but he has a better team around him. So, look, the Green Bay Packers are built where, look, they can run it. Aaron Jones has shown that he can step and put it on them. We got Devontae Adams on the outside. The defense is playing well, creating turnovers. And if they get in a jam, they always can lean on number 12. That is why I trust him the most. 9 playoff wins. He is the one that I trust the most going into the postseason.
I don't have a problem with
that. Yeah, I agree with Bucky's argument about Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson's had the best regular season I've ever seen from a quarterback. But he ain't done a damn thing in the postseason. So I'm sorry. He just can't be number one when you're talking about trustworthiness. Who's the best quarterback going into the playoffs? Lamar Jackson.
That's fair.
Is he the most trustworthy? No. The guy you can trust the most here, I'm sorry to Rodgers isn't bad, but I don't think he cracked my top three. Mm. It's Drew Brees. The man's on a run right now the last four or five games with his QB rating of like 137.
Doesn't that sound like regular season?
It does.
It is. Mm. But he's on a run. He's got 8 playoff victories. Yeah. He's highly motivated right now. He and that team, and to me, and this includes Kyle Shanahan. He's got the best offensive coach in football going right now. It's Sean Payton, and I include Kyle Shanahan in that list. Sean Payton is the best football coach going right now. That's no disrespect to Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach anybody's ever seen. But right now, over these last 2 years, nobody's coaching better than Sean Payton. The Payton-Drew Brees combination, and particularly for a 40-year-old guy, it couldn't be any better right now. Drew Brees is the guy I trust.
Can I just say, loving eyes can't see, all that. Let me just say something here, all right? Because I got to get this off my chest. If life is about you walking a journey and walking on a road of accomplishments and success, and you're measured by your accomplishments and you're measured by your success. Somebody builds a building. I want to be up on that 99th floor with somebody who built that building as many times as they possibly could have built that building. If I'm dealing with somebody who's hunting alligators, I want to be with somebody who's been hunting them alligators for a really, really long time, not
Let
for the first time.
Let me tell you what blows up your argument, though.
Blow it up.
Is that Tom Brady, despite winning the Super Bowl, the alligators ate him up last year.
No. He is the returning incumbent Super Bowl champ. And he has won 30 games in the playoffs. And y'all acting like 30 games.
Trustworthy
is based upon what you have done. Mm. 30 games. Nobody's even close to that. Put them all together. Let's see if we can get close to that. Add them up. Put them together. I just don't understand. We're saying trustworthiness. Trustworthy?
Based
go with the person with the results.
Last year, and all regular season.
If we're just doing lifetime achievement awards, I should just call Joe Montana and put him on the field because he's won 4 Super Bowls. But I trust him because I've seen him win it. At some point,
Tom Brady
it's how
won
you're playing.
The Super Bowl last
how you're playing.
Season.
It's how you're playing. Look, trust is not given; it's earned.
Thank you.
Hold on, Tom Brady.
You don't have to agree with me any further.
It's not about last year. It's about when Tom Brady first got his opportunity into the second year. No one trusted him going out there. How'd that turn out? Tom Brady proved that I am most trustworthy in these playoffs, winning the Super Bowl championship.
That's correct.
That is Lamar Jackson right now. You guys are throwing out names and people who are struggling in their own being. Really? Aaron Rodgers is struggling by his standards.
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy. Russell Wilson is struggling by his standards. And y'all saying all of a sudden they gonna hit the switch. Well, you need 21 other guys to hit the switch with you. And Russell Wilson's defense giving up 25 points a game.
Russell Wilson.
How's that gonna work out for
Russell
you?
Russell Wilson, trustworthy.
Okay, y'all keep giving
based
away this trust
numbers.
Based on what you used to do. I'm talking about what you're doing right now and how you're getting it. Nobody's getting it like Lamar.
Man, I'm surprised no one has mentioned Pat Mahomes. I'm just kind of surprised at the name.
Well, I mentioned one. He would be in my top 3 or 4.
I like that.
No question about it. But I'm just sorry. Somebody with 0 postseason victories, for me to trust them. It's like...
You want a tour guide that never went around the city they giving you a tour of. That's what y'all saying with Lamar Jackson. That's what y'all saying with any of these other...
The city.
Y'all want a tour. Y'all want a tour from a tour guide that
don't... know where
that,
everything was.
He can't even tell you where everything was. I'm sorry.
He know. He's
y'all tripping. You want to know who can give you a great tour of how the playoffs work and how the Super Bowl works? Tom Brady.
Just the old man. Right.
Tom Brady.
Just because they're old. Just
Tom Brady. That's a great rebuttal.
The old man.
He's just an old man that knows how to win.
You watched him play last year, LeVar.
Yes. And they won a Super Bowl. And
they won a
Super Bowl.
I'm going to ask you to go back far. Just go back 7 days. Did you see him?
What's their record?
Did you see him against the Miami Dolphins?
What's their record?
He has the yips.
Tell
it's
me
embarrassing
their
watching them play right now.
Tell me their record, Bucky Brooks.
It's not better than Lamar's record.
Yeah. By one game.
Oh, now we're going to do that. Yeah. All it takes is one
y'all
game.
Y'all calling that old man. You put that long finger in my face, and now long finger one is only one game away from Lamar Jackson with 30 wins in the postseason. Y'all need to talk to me.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and Eric Dickerson are back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's move it to New Orleans. He already sprained. Where the Saints host the Vikings Sunday afternoon on Fox. The last time these teams met in the playoffs, the Saints lost on the Minneapolis Miracle. And last year, we all remember New Orleans got bounced after that 9 call on pass interference against the Rams. But even still, Drew Brees says he's not using those losses as extra motivation. So I want to ask you guys, do you believe him?
No. They are certainly using last year's motivation for this year. I think that's why they're playing so efficiently. That's why I believe they're the only real threat to the Baltimore Ravens. If the Ravens play their A game, New Orleans is the only team that I think can be competitive with them. And I think it's because they're so motivated from what happened last year.
I believe Drew. Knowing Drew, saw him from day one, practice one, snap one. When he came in as a second rounder, and some people thought he should have felt slighted. Drew Brees didn't feel so slighted. He just said, look, I'm going to go about my work, be mechanical, be maniacal in his approach, and really laser focused. He's always been that way, to the tune of when he tore off his shoulder, damn near off his torso, he came back with that same resolve. This is one of those guys that just... knowing his mindset, he stays even keel, even though he gives of himself to his teammates, to his emotions. He still has that Kawhi Leonard kind of focus in him. And you've seen him, we've seen all of the footage of him going out there and doing the mental reps. This is who Drew Brees is. That's why he's climbed to the top and some consider as one of the GOATs.
I'll take it. I'm going to say yes, I do buy what he's saying. And it's very simple. He has way more motivation than those two losses. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has so many records and is in the record book for accomplishing so much, but yet is still fighting to build what could be a lasting legacy of being one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. Now, that's on high level. You want to go low level? Let's go low level. This man went out with an injury this year. Did they skip one beat?
Nope.
One tick,
nope.
One talk. I didn't see it. Guy by the name of Teddy Bridgewater comes in, keeps the battleship moving. Matter of fact, didn't even give up a nail, I do believe. So this man is not only fighting and motivated to solidify his legacy, he's fighting for his job, too. I mean, keep it real.
I agree. I mean, I think that when you think about Drew Brees, you think about a guy that can just do it. I mean, he does it at a high level. When I look at the Saints, and you said it best, you took my line too.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, Teddy Bridgewater. You know, he came in and they didn't miss a beat. And I'm with you. I think that he feels like I've got to play well. Now, is he worried about what happened last year or what happened with the Rams or the year before? I think not. I think, hey, it's before you right now. Now, if they were playing the Rams right now,
that would be different.
He would be very much motivated. I want to come back and get them. Now, I look at the city of New Orleans. Let's take New Orleans, the city. This is the only city that would not watch the Super Bowl because they felt that they got cheated. We're going to watch the Super Bowl. We won. So I think that Drew Brees is like, hey, you know, we want to take care of our business and we're going to go out and do what we do.
Okay, I think you're all right in terms of he has other motivations and some of these things you're talking about may be a bit of a higher priority, but you can't tell me after the season they had last year that went so well and then to have it change in that instance didn't make Drew Brees and the entire team realize just how precious these moments are and they can be taken away from you at any time. maybe it's not for Drew Brees personally, but for that entire team, I just think it's an easy sales pitch for Sean Payton and Drew Brees as a leader of that team. Guys, we have to take advantage of every moment. You remember what happened to us last year. It can be taken away in an instant. These things aren't guaranteed. Maybe it's not impacting Drew Brees. I certainly think it's impacting the team.
He's talked about that. And it's interesting if you look at his game as a microcosm of who he is as a person, his personality, his character. He's so efficient when he's out there. You were saying how consistent he is. Efficient, setting records in efficiency. You don't do that when you're distracted. You don't do that when you're over there looking at other things. And this whole extra motivation, I had coaches used to always say, we don't need no extra credit, no extra reps. Because if you're going to do more one day, guess what you're going to do another day? Less. So we don't get, everybody gets caught up in that extra stuff. He's like, I'm going to do me. I'm going to do 100% Drew Brees. And that's what's gotten him to the top of this mountain.
Here's what I'm going to say to your point. If I'm a player, if I'm a coach, now that as a coach, if we lost a game, if we lost in the playoffs the way that this team has lost, am I using that as a focal point to say, pay attention to the details like you said? Absolutely I am.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave. But here's the thing. You missed the Super Bowl by a bad call, arguably. Now, I don't know what happens after, but you missed the Super Bowl perceivably by the bad call. You don't want to leave the game to come down to one play. Let's not let this game come down to one play where if a referee by human error misses the call, that it costs us our trip. Is that motivation? It absolutely is motivation. Let's go take these games. Let's go out here and let's take the games. So if we're using it as motivation that way, as a player, as a coach, I can 100% buy into that.
I look at this team as like a street fighter. You know, you think about the Seattle Seahawks. When they had a chance to have a dynasty. And that one play on the goal line changed everything. But not running the football, throwing the interception. That could have, the Patriots would have lost 3 Super Bowls in a row. Mm. So that we'd be talking totally different about the Patriots. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, that team in Seattle, it fell apart. They seemed they could never, ever get over it. This New Orleans Saints team, they got beat in Minnesota. They got beat in New Orleans on a so-called bad call. Mm. It was a bad call.
It was a horrible call.
A non-call.
Y'all were a horrible representative.
But you know what?
But
it didn't let them define them as a team. Because they could have said, you know what? We give up. Let's just break this team up. You know, it ain't working. Let's get the quarterback out of here. You know, it ain't working. But they never did.
All right, Darnell, is there a Super 6 for the Vikings Saints this weekend?
Yes, it is. And before the game kicks off, be sure to download the Fox Sports Super 6 app and play for free for your chance to win Terry Bradshaw's $25,000. We're like Marcellus. We're going to switch it up a little bit. One of the questions for this game is, how many total passing touchdowns will Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins combine for?
I'm going 6, 4-2. 4 for Brees, 2 for Cousins.
It's like a primetime game. Kirk Cousins is playing. I say 4, man. It ain't going to be that. I say 4. I love you, Kirk.
Joined again by LeVar Arrington and Eric Dixon. Time now for the most fearless discussion of the day. All right, the Dallas Cowboys have yet to officially fire lame duck head coach Jason Garrett. ESPN's Ed Werder reported the Cowboys are expected to do it soon, but Werder says the Cowboys are handling Garrett with, quote, an abundance of care and respect. Other reporters have characterized owner Jerry Jones' relationship with Garrett as fatherly. As a player and a coach, Garrett has worked for the organization for 20 years. Jones' relationship with Garrett is improper. Jerry needs to treat Dallas's next head coach like a valued employee rather than an adopted family member. Family's great, but when running a business, employees are generally far superior to family. You keep your enemies close, you keep your employees at a safe distance. That distance serves the employee and the employer. Jason Garrett's closeness to Jones likely prevented Garrett from reaching his full potential as a head coach. It's difficult to innovate and grow when you're trapped in the nest and you're always trying to please daddy. The Cowboys are the biggest business in American professional sports. Jerry Jones runs it like a mom and pop store. Jerry's always sitting at the counter, ready to chat to any and every employee and customer. He's stifling growth and innovation. It's taken so long to officially fire Garrett because Garrett is probably explaining to his football daddy how daddy undermined Garrett's chances of success. All right, Marcel, let's get us rolling here.
Man.
Is Jerry's family-style approach ruining the Cowboys?
No, not at all. That was a short one. I love it. Get to the point. What we're talking about here is Jerry Jones and his success and how it's going to pass and baton to who's next, which is Stephen Jones, which is nepotism, which is what the wealthy, what the greats, what the top does. Most success is inherited. Whether you want to talk about wealth, talk about athlete DNA and genes and the players on that field, like this is passed on. And to distance yourself from those in that conversation would do yourself a disservice. I'm looking at Jerry Jones, three-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Fame owner, and the most successful brand in sports. And this approach is now ruining a team that, as we said earlier, won three division titles in the last 5 years. No, they're not living up to their early success, but certainly not to the point where we're going to compare them to the Cleveland Browns and other lowly franchises. They're still top 10 in wins in this last decade versus teams like Cleveland who haven't. So I don't think anything is wrong with this team other than the fact that they are underachieving based on expectations. But maybe we need to reset these expectations and ride this out because they're trending in the right direction because of the roster they constructed.
Yes, it's ruining the team. It's ruining the team because with his nepotism, he has not defined where the lines are supposed to be correctly. When those lines are blurred or not existent at all, non-existing at all, now you're talking about running rampant. Nepotism is running rampant. So if you have a guy who, you know, I use the example, my oldest daughter, if as the dad, because as the dad, you want to always impress and learn from the dad. There's nothing wrong with that, even if it's a player and we're looking at employees. The problem that happens is when you have an authoritative figure as the dad that puts that authoritative figure in place through nepotism, if you don't see the value in them being that authoritative figure, there's where your ultimate problems will lie. All right. I leave my daughter in charge. If she says to the rest of them, do this, clean the house, do that, because dad said to do it. And they say, no, I'm not going to do it. Oh, yes, you are. As an authoritative figure, that authority should be done. It should be executed in an orderly fashion of what the parameters call for. If not, there should be repercussions and consequences to let you know and reinforce as the dad that you're supposed to do what this authoritative figure in my place is doing. All right. Now, if they're calling, hey, dad, they said to do this, don't do it. All right. Whatever. Okay. If you start to create that narrative where you can call your dad and say, you know what? I don't want to do it. The authoritative figure told me to do it and I'm not doing it. All right. Then now, just as y'all laughing, you have a mess in your house.
A long road to
I don't think it was a long road at all.
Man, shoot, I ran out of gas.
I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry. But
I get your point.
I heard with dad.
Nepotism has to have boundaries. And
all I said, you better get your ass and do what I tell you to do. Look, I said this here. Millionaires don't like to be wrong. Billionaires really don't want to be wrong. Jerry Jones has groomed Jason Garrett all these years. He used to be, as a backup quarterback, he was in the coaches' meeting as a backup quarterback. He wanted to be a head coach. He told me he wanted to be a head coach.
Yeah.
Jerry has groomed him all these years for that job. I mean, at one point, he was paying Jason Garrett more than he was paying his head coach. Now, how you pull that off? So that goes to show you, it's favoritism. Jerry does not want to be wrong. I hate to say it, that's the whole thing.
Parents are about their kids.
Yes, right.
100%.
Hey, I don't want to be wrong. And parents not always right, but most of the time they are. But the big thing here is he doesn't want to be wrong.
Where's the authority, though?
But again, to me, he's crippling. You can give people crutches and cripple them.
Yes.
And make it so they can never walk. And so I agree with you that the players see a way to get around Jason Garrett or whoever the authority figure is because they can always go to daddy. But also, by Jerry constantly being involved and never backing off and delegating in true fashion to his son, his real son, Stephen Jones, or this adopted son, Jason Garrett, he's always in the mix. Everybody's always trying to please Jerry. That's no way for grown men to really blossom as full-blown leaders with this old 77-year-old guy that everybody's running around trying to please and make happy. Sometimes you got to take a step away and let your coaches coach and have the final say-so and your general manager have the final say-so. Jerry, he's running this like my dad ran the Masterpiece Lounge. And that's great at the Masterpiece Lounge. Let me and my brother Jim come in and do whatever the hell we want to do.
I like the name.
That's not how you run a football team.
Well, it depends on how you're defining success. Let's be respectful to what Jerry's ultimate goal is. One of them he's accomplished in terms of 3 championships. One of them he's accomplished in terms of richest brand, richest team in sports. So the way he's running it is actually uber successful. Now let's talk about what culture he's created to the point of, is that going to continue to lend itself to on the field success? We all know culture is nothing but just choices, thoughts, and beliefs intersubjectively connected. We're all just thinking the same thing, so it's our truth or it's all our collective lie, whatever it is. But if daddy, as you would say,
daddy
is the one out there lying, guess what the culture is? Following daddy's footsteps. So what Jerry is doing may not end up in a Super Bowl opportunity or championship. Like 30 other teams every single year, except the one that wins.
He ain't good with that. Troy Aikman ain't good with
it. Troy Aikman got his. Jerry got his. They keep telling you they ain't happy, but they keep doing the same thing that keeps lending themselves to the
brand. But we're talking about the franchise. Is it ruining the Cowboys? I don't see where you're saying there's the success. Where's the success? They're not. The ultimate goal is to win championships.
Stop that ultimate goal.
That is. We're talking about the Cowboys.
Hold on. You think that this brand is bigger than the Yankees, it's bigger than the Lakers, and you're talking about he's not winning or that's not his ultimate goal?
So, again, is he ruining the Cowboys? Not is he generating money. Is the brand generating money? Okay, I get that,
it's
but are the Cowboys...
More popular
than ever. Cowboys winning?
Okay, then look. Is he ruining the Cowboys' chance of winning the Super Bowl?
That's how I interpreted the question. Because you're right in what you're saying. But I'm saying, if we're talking about wins and losses, he is ruining them.
So there's, in the last 20 years, what we got 8 teams that have won? 24 teams have not won a Super Bowl championship.
Not all of them have been the number one franchise in sports, generating more money and with an owner who seems hell-bent on trying to prove he can win one without Jimmy Johnson, and he can't do it because he's undermining anybody he puts in a position of authority because he treats them all like they're the kid.
Well, Jerry Jones bought that franchise in 1989. Woo. I think in the first 5 years, he won 3 Super Bowls. So I'm sure at one point he said, anybody can do this. Yeah. It's easy. Mm. And I think now he's finding out how hard it is to win Super Bowls. But still, when you're making money, they're making a lot of money. And the Cowboys wasn't up here. If the Cowboys were in the middle of the road, nobody was talking about them, I think it'd be different. But like I said earlier, when you talk about owners, who's the first? You say NFL owners. Who's the first name comes up?
Jerry Jones.
And nobody's even close.
And you know what's happened? He's turned into the modern day Al Davis.
I say he's like an Al. He's like an Al. I was gonna say that. Like an Al Davis type. You know, right. It's like you have to let go after a while.
And Al Davis was great back in the day, and he's a big factor in the NFL and the AFL and all that. But the latter version of Al Davis was problematic.
But hold on. We always talk about the NFL being nothing but a TV show. And the ratings drives our interest and it shows our interest. But to an owner, quietly, privately, they can't sell this to their fan base. They're interested in the revenue as well. So you got to act. Look, I'm overt and outward with my fascination with playing my best to get the most. All this Super Bowl stuff had to connect with me, but it was in the pursuit of getting my skills on display to get proper value. Jerry Jones has done that, and he has 3 rings to sit there and say.
But that's still different as an owner from versus a player. And I'll say this: I think maybe because an owner has way more to worry about than Marcellus Wiley.
But how does an owner even display that he's a part of a franchise? Checks, money, monetary.
Right, but that franchise is that's his asset. That's you're an employer, employee of it. That's that owner's
He's
asset.
More it's a different approach. He's more popular and famous than the team that wins every single year.
It's fair.
If the team was losing, let's just say the team was losing $80 million a year, but you win the Super Bowl, at the point, you might say, hey, look, we don't forget these Super Bowls. We need to start making that money. That's what it comes about that. We need to make that money.
Coming up. LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks are back with us. Let's move to Philadelphia. Where according to Fox Bet, the Seahawks are favored by 1.5 over the Eagles Sunday. Russell Wilson carried Seattle to the postseason this year, but he struggled in the playoffs in recent seasons and has actually not won a playoff game since the Legion of Boom broke up. All right, the question here is, does Wilson need to prove he can win without the Legion of Boom?
It's getting there, yeah. I would have to say yes, because there was a choice made. It almost was juxtaposed, like, Legion of Boom or Russell Wilson, to the tune of it played out in the Super Bowl while we're watching there on the goal line. Like, this franchise is in the hands of Russell Wilson. We all know what happened on that night. So now you fast forward to this moment, no playoff success with the Russell Wilson, highest paid quarterback, highest paid player in the league. That could easily turn into empty calories in terms of regular season success, MVP candidate, but what comes from that? What materializes? So, Russell, it's going to get louder if you don't
tell you what's interesting about your point. Earl Thomas is on the best team in the AFC, and Richard Sherman's on the best team in the NFC, some would argue.
Mm-hmm. Well, they always say that a Super Bowl-caliber team has to have that free safety that can play the game the way that an Earl Thomas would play the game. I don't see there being anything wrong with that correlation. When I look at this question, I absolutely think that he's fighting to solidify what his identity is as what he represents to the game of football as well as his team. We're talking about, can he do it without the Legion of Boom? But just to add on to what Marcellus said, can he do it without Beast Mode? Our hangover from the last Super Bowl, again, and the lasting image is you had a defining moment and it could have either gone into the hands of Beast Mode or it was in the hand of Russell Wilson. We know how it played out. Russell Wilson throws an interception, and they lose the – or was it an interception?
Yeah, it was the
Malcolm Butler. So the reality here for him is to have a very successful playoff run sets the stage. I don't think he has to win the Super Bowl, but I do think he has to have a successful run.
Yeah, get a win.
No, at some point he has to step and he has to win. I'm saying it has to happen this year because of all the things that you allude to. Earl Thomas going to Baltimore, Richard Sherman having success in San Francisco. The Seattle Seahawks made a decision to move on from those guys because they wanted Russell Wilson to have a voice in the locker room. As long as those guys were in the locker room, he couldn't be the leader because they would drown him out. So now he's had it for 2 years. It's time for him to step up. Also, paying $35 million, when you pay $35 million for the quarterback,
$35 million,
you expect him to maybe make it happen. At some point, it's time for him to make it happen, regardless
unless
of what's going
Dak
on
Prescott.
Around him.
Than a Dak Prescott we just
Dak Prescott right. doesn't have his $35 million. Yeah, when he gets that, then it's on him.
But listen, no, Russell Wilson has nothing to prove. He's won
what
a Super Bowl.
What are you talking about?
He's been to another.
He won because of those other guys.
Uh-oh.
So did Tom Brady early in his career.
And he kept
And then he won. And then he won.
But he got to be provided to all the other pieces. Oh. And to me.
Well, what are we paying him for then?
And to me, Russell Wilson's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt he's a franchise NFL quarterback. Worth every dime he gets paid. He has not, it would be nice. I think it wouldn't be a good look if he loses to this ravaged and beat up Eagles team, but I don't think it diminishes Russell Wilson.
Don't forget he had pieces like last year, number one rushing attack. Mm. How did that go? How did that go, anybody? Dallas?
Yeah.
Like you got to look at this from where he's feeling the pressure, the heat. Once you get up there in that pay scale and in that high class and net worth, we don't want to hear it. Like, I don't want to hear about the pieces. I don't want to hear about the roster construction. You're supposed to overcome those obstacles in spite of. So, Russell right now, I think he's feeling the fire.
I think all of that would be true if he weren't sitting on a Super Bowl ring, a second Super Bowl appearance. I would get
But we're basing that off of the Legion of
Legion
Boom.
Legion of Boom did that for him.
No.
They did that for
the
Kobe
Shaq. He was the quarterback
but the Legion of Boom.
Remember when Kobe started counting them rings? Because he was like, finally the monkey off my back. Steve Young, talking about finally the monkey off my back. He needs to get that monkey off
Jerry
his back.
Jerry took that. Was that Jerry that took it off of Steve?
Give me that.
That is a monkey on his back.
Shaq The Legion of Boom was not Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes, they were.
Oh.
Yes, they were.
Shaq was the finals MVP.
Whoa, the defense. The defense.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the Legion of Boom ain't on the same level as Shaq.
Yes, they are.
The defense held
that Super Bowl.
For Shaq was a force of nature.
Y'all need so was the Legion of Boom.
Legion of Boom.
Uncle Jimmy's here to tell us, talk about our approval ratings. Who is our approval rating today? Oh, me. I'm sorry.
You don't know?
Who's the big dummy of the day?
You know?
Oh.
You.
No. That you are? Hey, man, did I hear you say that Jerry Jones was wrong for hiring family members?
Yeah.
Uncle
Jimmy?
Nephew Darnell?
I mean, this dude.
I mean, am I getting to get fired or what? You haven't changed the thought?
How come you ain't got a shirt on, bro?
Don't worry about it. I'll show you. I can show you better than I can tell you. Come on with this.
All right, let's talk Patriots. I've been predicting the end of the Patriots dynasty all week with my countdown clock. I have bet against the Patriots many times, even when I promised I never would again, and I'm damn sure betting against them this weekend. Cannot wait. Marcellus, you think the Patriots put a clown suit on me?
Uh-huh. Yep. Mm. Get that double X out. Well, it's the holidays, so triple X out. Get it out. Look, Tannehill's 0-6 in Foxborough. And this team has won two games against winning teams, and one of them was the JV squad of Houston in Week 17. They are going to get beat down, and Tom Brady the GOAT shines again.
Oh, I'm going to make so much money this weekend. Uncle Jimmy.
Build a casino, that's what you're going to do.
You have any thoughts on this? I have a are you trying to be Andre 3000?
That's what he's doing.
Is that what you're doing? Anyway, go ahead, man.
Look here, Mike. I'm going to tell you something. I done had all of this New England Patriots mess I done can take from you all week long, and I'm sick of it. Now, I hate to be the one to admit it, but the New England Patriots is going to win this weekend. And once again, you're going to find yourself crying in your Casa de Anus and truffle chicken.
Casa Dragonis.
Wishing that you hadn't bet against Tom Brady on this last game. But now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, your little outcast analogy.
Yeah.
Now, that kind of inspired my motif for the day. Now, let me say something to you that you will never be able to say in your life.
What?
You'll never be able to say, I dedicate this one to all my baby mamas, all my baby mamas' mamas, and all my baby mamas' mamas that got drama. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Now, check me out. Listen to me, Douglas. Check it out.
All right.
I'm sorry, Jason, but the Pates is for real. You never should have let Tom Brady cry. Now, one day, you gonna die. I'm sorry, Brady, but the Pats is for real. Hey, betting against Tom Brady makes you cry. That is why your bank accounts run dry. Now you and the Patriots got a love affair going on. You say they gonna lose, but like your waist, they just keep going strong. Nephew, please feel me. I know I'm not talking dinner. This ain't a pretty picture, but you can't pick a winner. I'm sorry, Jason, but you are so dumb.
You're not Andre 3000.
You're waiting on that dynasty to end. This is why you have no other friends. I'm sorry, Jason. You is so dumb.
No way. No rhythm.
None.
None. Andre. Leave it alone.
No wonder you retired, Dre. No wonder you retired.
You need to go back you need to go back to your day era. Bill Withers, that kind of that kind of stuff, man.
Are you hating on me, man?
You got no Dre in you, brother.
You're not Andre 3000. That was one of your worst performances.
Andre 250. Andre 250. Hold on, if you got a problem, give me a contract. I can make it 3,000. I can show you better than I can tell you.
All right.
See that back fat again? Turn around.
Wow. I love it. Hold on, look. I'm looking at these approval ratings. How you going to have me at a role player?
Oh, man, because you've lost way more than you've won. You just come over here and brag that one Chiefs game you won. Everything else been an L, man, so I had to drop you, brother. Sorry, man. I keep count.
Uncle Jimmy, I appreciate you having me at 160.
Well, the way I had it last time, I didn't get a raise, and that was at 120. I go up to 160. Sure enough, by next time this year, I should have some money. And maybe I'll give you a better performance.
Damn, the internet really trashed me. I'm a dumpster fire, 34.8%.
You're polarizing.
No, those are self-inflicted injuries, nephew.
I'm going to tell you what. Check me out when I cash this weekend. Patriots going
down. I'm so sorry, Jason.
24 hours.